Apple is running into a big intellectual property problem in China. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It emerged today that a Chinese court has ordered Apple to stop selling most of its phone models in China. It's not clear when the preliminary order kicks in, and Apple hasn't changed the phones it's selling into China online. The court found Apple violated two patents held by the San Diego-based microchip maker Qualcomm, which has been fighting with Apple over intellectual property for years. This ruling is about photo editing and swiping on the screen. The very newest Apple models are not affected, but everything from the standard iPhone X down to the 6S are. Apple stock is down 1.6% now. There's plenty of uncertainty to rattle financial markets to start the week. The UK government today canceled a planned vote on its plan to leave the European Union. A vote seemed as doomed. And with the U.S. president and his trade advisors sounding alternately dovish and hawkish on the U.S.-China trade war, let's check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
I mean, because the U.S.-China trade war is driving a lot of the sentiment, I have to ask you, coming out of the weekend, do you have a sense of whether the United States of America is getting more dovish on its negotiations or hawkish? Which way is it going?
You know, it's really hard to say. We don't have a lot of visibility. We have a lot of different voices saying different things from the administration. So I think what we know is that the negotiating positions of each side are still very far apart. And so at a minimum, it's going to take months till we actually get some real clarity on the situation.
And that is factoring into share prices, certainly last week and probably again here this week.
Share prices and bond yields. The entire market is getting a little more risk averse and expressing greater doubts about the outlook. So, yeah, we've seen a lot of skittishness in markets, and that's meant lower bond yields and lower stock prices.
Economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, helping us to capture the zeitgeist as we start the trading week. Julia, thank you.
My pleasure.
Now to California. It's become the first state to require solar panels on most new homes, effective in 2020. This is a California story, but with nationwide effects. Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
California already leads the nation in the number of homes equipped with solar, about 6 million. Solar provides about 17% of the state's energy. The requirement applies to new single-family homes and apartment buildings up to three stories, though there's an exemption for homes in shade. Alex McDonough with the solar provider Sunrun says the demand should make solar systems cheaper, not just in California.
Those economies of scale will help make all these projects more cost-effective, lower cost for everybody.
The change will drive up building costs in a state where affordable housing is in short supply, adding an estimated $10,000 to the price of a home. Ethan Elkind, an expert in environmental law at UC Berkeley, points out there will be savings, too.
I think the benefits are quite significant for people's bottom lines, for utility bill savings.
California predicts consumers will save about $80 a month on energy bills, and a U.S. Department of Energy report showed solar panels add about $15,000 to the resale value of a home. As customers pay less for energy, though, utilities might charge more to manage the grid. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Marketplace is more than a radio program. As a nonprofit news organization, we strive to provide a public service that fulfills a vital mission. Now is the time to show that you value what you learn from Marketplace. Invest in the news you trust, and your donation will go twice as far, thanks to our friends at Candida. Give today at marketplace.org and keep reliable, independent journalism going strong. Thank you.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Work at a company for a while and eventually own it, or at least a piece of it. That is the idea behind employee stock ownership plans, or ESOPs. Nearly 7,000 businesses in the U.S. have them. And a recent survey by the ESOP Association suggests the structure makes employee owners more productive. From the Marketplace Hub at WCPN IdeaStream, Adrian Ma starts his piece in a Cleveland bar.
Great Lakes Brewing Company has been in business about 3 decades. And earlier this year, its owners announced they'd be starting an employee stock ownership plan. In the coming months, the company will get appraised and divided into shares. And over time, those shares will be transferred to the company's 200-plus employees.
Cheers.
Becca Rittersbach works in HR there. And over a beer at Great Lakes Brew Pub, she tells me the prospect of being an employee slash owner makes her feel more invested in her job.
Not only because we have this feeling of actual ownership in the company, but it's nice to work in a place where the owners trust you with that.
And Jason D. Rivera, who works on the bottling line, agrees.
There's a knowledge of, you know, when I see the profit statements for the year, I know part of that is mine.
Now, the company doesn't yet know what its shares will be worth, but researchers at Rutgers University say employees at ESOP companies hold, on average, $134,000 in equity.
An ownership mentality can make a difference in a person's view of things.
Michael Keeling is president of the ESOP Association, which recently surveyed owners of more than 180 ESOP companies. Two-thirds said their workers were more productive after implementing the plan. For Great Lakes Brewing, though, CEO Bill Bohr says the decision to give employees stock wasn't about juicing profits. It was about succession planning.
The craft beer business, as an industry, has gone through a lot of merger and acquisition activity. And this is a significant statement about staying independent.
Now, these plans aren't without risk. If a company tanks, so will the shares. Currently, about 14 million people in the U.S. participate in ESOPs. And Corey Rosen with the National Center for Employee Ownership figures that'll grow over time.
We think as much as 25% of the workforce could be in these plans.
Especially, he says, as more baby boom business owners near retirement. In Cleveland, I'm Adrian Ma for Marketplace.
And I know you're thinking it, so let me just say it aloud. Might we refer to that story about employee stock ownership plans as the ESOP's fable? This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.